You and I know Pat Robertson, right? The Reverend Pat Robertson. He's one of the most prominent evangelical thinkers today, televangelist, if you want to call him that. And he created a stir the other day when on his television channel, he suggested that a man whose wife was far gone with Alzheimer's should be free to divorce her if he felt the need for new companionship. So a caller had called him on the phone, and this caller's friend, his wife, is not the same person, obviously, that he married, because she's now gone in her mind because of Alzheimer's. And this guy is bitter toward God for allowing his wife to be in this condition. And so because his wife had Alzheimer's, he had started seeing another woman. So Robertson replied, "I know it is cruel, but if he's going to do something, he should divorce her and start all over again. But make sure she has custodial care." What a Christian thing to do, huh? You know, I was thinking, if my mom had Alzheimer's, and if my dad had to say, "I'm done with her because she is gone," man. Pat Robertson is the voice of God for many evangelical Christians. When talking about marriage, do you think he should be focusing on God, whose love is steadfast and faithful, rather than a God of convenience? If marriage is for better or worse, shouldn't he be focusing on the covenant rather than the contract? So hear the words of Isaiah in today's first reading and see if this makes sense in the context of this Pat Robertson story. Isaiah says, "For my thoughts," God says through Isaiah, "for my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways not your ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts." What are God's thoughts? How does God think? You have a glimpse of that in today's parable in the gospel reading. The Pharisees in the gospel reading almost remind me of Pat Robertson. They thought of themselves as the voice of God, and they considered salvation to be their right, not a gift from God. It's their right. We follow the law. God spoke to us. Salvation belongs to us. So in the parable, they are the ones who get into the field to work early in the morning. They are the people. The ones who came later are the tax collectors and sinners. The Pharisees wanted to make sure that the ones who came last got paid less, because in their eyes, that is what is just. In other words, the Pharisees not only wanted to be the rightful owners of the kingdom, but they also wanted to decide the fate of other people. And surely this new kid on the block, Jesus, what does he know? He didn't fast on assigned days. He healed people on the Sabbath. Surely this man cannot be from God. They knew the voice of God. and then the dirty prostitutes, the woman caught in adultery, Zacchaeus the tax collector, the woman possessed by a legion. What chance do they stand in the kingdom of God? If we think like the Pharisees, or maybe like Pat Robertson, God is just. But then God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. And so Isaiah says, God is not only just, but God is generous. In fact, in their arrogance and in their self-righteousness, surprises of all surprises, the Pharisees found themselves excluded from the kingdom. What a reversal of fortunes. But they should have been ready for this, because God had already spoken through Isaiah. He says, I don't think like you. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. So that's the scripture for us today, basically. I want to draw 3 points that we can take home and think about and try and live it out in our lives. So here's my first point. Isaiah really presents a dilemma for us. Because on the one hand, Isaiah talks of God as the transcendent other. In other words, God's thoughts are so beyond our thoughts, and his ways are so beyond our ways. And yet he says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. So God is the totally other. At the same time, I'm supposed to seek this God because God is near. This is the dilemma, the transcendent and the near. So this dilemma between the otherness of God and God's closeness is the challenge for us. Here's a question. How can I be sure that I can seek God and get God right? Because it seems to me Pat Robertson is not getting him right. How can you and I seek God, and even though God is transcendent, how can I get God right? The answer is simple. We can get God right if we seek God in the right place. We can get God right if we look at Jesus. Jesus is the face of this God who is so transcendent. For us today, the best way to seek the Lord is to know, understand, personalize, and internalize the person of Jesus. If we think like Christ, we'll never go wrong. Never go wrong. Stay with Christ and Christ's thoughts and actions, we'll never go wrong. No matter what the situation, children, spouse, marriage, war, violence, life or death, with Jesus, we can be sure we are with God. My second point, and I want to take this from Paul's letter today, the second reading. Here's what Paul says of himself. Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Paul lives Isaiah's dilemma in a kind of different way. His dilemma is, should I be with God in heaven because, oh gosh, I love you, I so want to be with you. At the same time, he wants to be on earth because he wants to spread the gospel. For the benefit of his community, he wants to be on earth. He's torn between heaven and earth. And I think this is what our thinking should be as well. Folks, there are many people who claim to know God and do so much harm. On the other hand, here is one goal that we should have and we could have in our lives, and it could give all the meaning and purpose that we want. The greatest act of evangelization is to let Christ be magnified in my body. So I said in my first point, let us know, understand, personalize, internalize Christ. But once we've done that, in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, may that Christ, not me, not us, may the Christ whom we have internalized and personalized, let that Christ come through in every situation of our lives. So yes, in this week, I ask you, in life and in death, let Christ be magnified in our bodies, in our lives. My third point. Today's readings, especially the parable, today's parable draws a contrast between God's goodness and human intolerance. In the parable, God is both just and merciful. God did not deny the Pharisees what was due to them. In this, God is just. But God finds a way to give opportunity to those who were not yet ready to participate in God's life. In that, God is merciful. God is just and merciful. And sometimes I feel this is so different from the way we treat one another. We want to be just without being merciful. But there is a very important lesson in that parable. When we deny others justice and mercy, paradoxically, we deny ourselves God's justice and mercy. What we deny to one another, we deny ourselves from God. Exclusion is a sin. Exclusion is Phariseeism. So whether it is politics, whether it's race, sex, class, nationality, religion, or state of life, we must devise a way to show both the justice and the mercy of God. To be fair and yet be generous. So that's the readings for us today. Please take the Word of God home. Personalize Christ, stay with Christ, magnify Christ, and if we magnify Christ, then justice and mercy will meet in us. So as we proceed to the table then, let's be aware of two things. First, in God's justice, God could have denied us the table, but God doesn't. It's God's mercy that makes it possible to access this table to receive the body and blood of Christ. As we have received Christ in our hearts, may this Christ be magnified, and may people outside experience in us the justice and the generosity and the mercy of God. And the people of God said, I've gone for some time and suddenly the amen has no strength in it. And the people of God said,
amen.
There you go.